subtle skills, big results.
Welcome to the Ninja Selling Podcast. Welcome back, ninjas. We are here again, and today we have a very special guest. I'm excited to spend this time with a very special person in our world. As we are rolling into this podcast today, I do want to remind everybody that to celebrate our 200,000 unique download victory, we'll call it victory, Matt, if you don't mind.
I like that. I like victories.
Victory. We are going to be doing a Q&A. And I want to encourage everybody out there that if you have questions that you want us to answer on the podcast, we're going to spend an entire episode, maybe even two, depending on how many questions we get from you. We are going to answer those on the podcast. We'll dive in deep to the things that you want to know more about. So if you want to be involved in that, we will acknowledge your question, who you are, where you are from that sent it. But you need to send those questions to TSW at theninjasellingpodcast.com. TSW at theninjasellingpodcast.com. So with that being said, we're excited for that coming up. But today we get to talk about mortgages. And I'm very excited about this.
Yay,
mortgages. But I'm excited for this because there's a lot of volatility around this right now. And any of you out there who are realtors, or we have a lot of mortgage brokers that are listening to this right now, we felt it was necessary to bring on one of our mortgage coaches, Stacia Weishar, to our program today because she is incredible. She has a deep understanding of what's happening out there right now. She does mortgages every day. So Stacia, welcome, welcome, welcome. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Garrett. I'm super excited to be here.
So this kind of came up because we were talking the other day and we're kind of kicking around. A lot of people don't know, but I get together with our coaches pretty much weekly and we kick around. What are we seeing out there? What's happening? What's working? What's not working? And the moment I started talking with Stacia, I was like, we need to have you on the podcast. We need to share some of these ideas and what you're seeing out here because it's very helpful for all parties. So I think the first thing, Stacia, that kind of came up was we were kind of talking about like just kind of volatility in this marketplace right now and what we're seeing. And I would love to kind of get your insights into that piece just starting off right there. What are you seeing out here and what's kind of happening right now?
So, you know, 2020, I mean, how many memes have we seen about 2020? Restart, let's do it again. You know, there's scary baby face. We've all seen it. And I think, you know, from a volatility perspective, if you're looking at your investments, right, your portfolios, you're up 300 points, you're down 500 points. It's just this volatile roller coaster, right? And it is volatile, especially in the financial markets. And I will tell you that, you know, mortgage financing is definitely impacted by that, right? The mortgage-backed securities in the United States, Fannie, Freddie, what the feds are doing. And that does have this sort of volatile sort of environment that mortgage professionals and mortgage companies and servicers are all living in right now. So never in my career have I ever been so close to the secondary markets where I'm constantly watching things, you know, things that were normal predictors, gross domestic product, what the feds are meeting, what's happening. All of that's just, the predictors are just really kind of off whack, so to speak, because 2020 is a little off whack, right? This is volatile. There's a lot of things that are happening. You know, one of the things that you and I were talking about, Garrett, was, is this 2006 again? I get asked that question daily by my clients. And the answer is no, it's not. It's not 2006 again. What happened in 2006, well, there was a lot of things, but what I think about was sort of that hollow sort of foundation within the marketplace, right? There was no proof, very little proof of repayment of debt for consumers. So people are out there buying houses. Oh my gosh, here's your driver's license. You got a 720 credit score. You get a loan. You get a loan. You get a loan. It's like Oprah, right? Here you
go. Stacia, if I remember correctly, now were you doing home loans back in 2006?
Yeah. So, well, I was working within a builder pre-recession. I was working in a builder capacity and as a sales manager there. And we were seeing a lot of that kind of credit loosening, like just like loosey goosey lending.
I remember over 100% financing. Like,
oh yeah,
realize that you could buy a house and they would be like, "Well, your appraisal comes in at 600, but we're going to lend you 110%."
Yeah.
Like, what are you thinking?
Yeah. Oh yeah. And you just need. And by the way, you just need a driver's license. You're good. Go ahead. Right. And certainly, you know, a lot of things were implemented after that, right? So that hollow foundation, I love analogy. So that just, you think about a house just sitting on top of that. The foundation just boosh, just, it just caved in, right? When repayment couldn't happen. I love the movie, The Big Short. Everybody should watch it or read the book. It's really good. It's a big educational piece. I tell all my first time homebuyers to go watch that movie, not to scare them, but just to educate them, right, on what happened back then. So repayment of debt certainly has happened. And anybody that's in this industry knows it's not easy for our clients to get financing. If you've gotten a loan yourself in the last, you know, several years, you know that we're going to ask for everything short of a blood sample, right? So there is repayment of debt. This is not 2006. And Garrett, to your point, people have great equity positions in the market currently, right? A lot of people have equity within their homes. Even if we are going to see some sort of market correction coming up in 2021, 2022, right? I mean, if that happens, people are sitting on equity. So that's a good thing, right? We're in a healthy market, from my opinion.
Yeah, 2007, 2008, people were like immediately in the red. The minute that market shifted at all, it was like, we're upside down. They didn't have any wiggle room at all. When you were talking about this earlier, the number one thing that kept coming into my mind is I remember in 2006, everything was under construction. I remember they could not create zip codes fast enough in the California East Bay marketplace. They were literally building a shopping center, a school, and a post office. And then they would just fill in homes as fast as they could around it. And then they were building the next shopping center, school, post office, and homes. It was insane. And they were doing it up in Seattle also, going out towards Issaquah and just massively putting in homes as fast as they could. And that's not where we were coming into this time either.
Yeah, it's what's interesting is what I was talking about earlier too is, you know, and construction for sure in Seattle is happening, right? And even outside of Seattle. What's really interesting right now, and you're probably seeing this too, is kind of the exodus from the city hub. And so being in Seattle, like I'm having clients who are like, man, I get to work on the moon if I want to now. My employer, like, I don't have to go back to my office. So can I buy a house on the moon? Sure. Yes, you can. Right. So people are kind of, you know, spreading out. And I think that that's really that piece about what we were talking about on our call, which is this is, you know, the most emotional, sizable, and financially impactful purchase of people's lives. And I always tell my clients that. I mean, I think my five-year-old could repeat everything I say, but I believe that sincerely. And so that emotional component of it, you know, really is hitting true for people, right? That get me out of my one bedroom apartment. I am in a studio. I cannot work on my bed anymore. Get me out of here. I have to get out. And so people are really making these very emotional decisions to go buy. And space certainly is one of those pieces. You know, I always think about emotional in that either it's competitive and somebody else loves it, but I have to have it. I want it. I want it. I want it. I also think about emotional in that we are humans, right? We are beings. And Maslow's hierarchy, to take us back to grade school, food, clothing, shelter. Shelter is innate of who we are, right? And more so than ever, we've been spending a lot of time in our shelters. And a lot of people want to get out of their current shelter situation and move out. So I'm seeing builders too in this marketplace building out away, right? You know, Eastern Washington, the market's exploding over there right now. But it is different than 2006.
I've even had people get their MLS, you know, sign up with the MLSs outside of their area. They're like, because we're seeing such a growth in these outside marketplaces that we need to go and be involved with it right now, because they're helping their clients make that move. You brought the studios. I think it's funny that, you know, the studio, you know, with the young family that has the young baby works just fine until you have to work out of that studio.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And you no longer have a nanny coming over. And yes, I mean, it's challenging for people. You know, I think I probably talked to at least five people yesterday who were on the fence. You know, I talked to a client that I spoke to, gosh, 2 years ago. And, you know, I stay in touch with even leads that are, you know, coming in from 2 years ago as a ninja, as you should, by the way. And they reach back out and they're like, you know what, Stacia, we have to get out of here. We need to get out of our apartment. They were in a different position 2 years ago. Their situation has certainly changed financially. So I'm happy for them. I'm excited. But they're like, they are in it. They want to get out of where they're currently at because they are looking at each other, sitting at a little kitchen table, staring at each other, working all day, and they just need more space, right?
So Stacia, to go back on that real quick, but You just mentioned, which I think is great, because a lot of people, I think, in the mortgage industry, they kind of are, they focus either on their real estate agents, they've got, you know, their transactions are processing. And you just made a comment of going back and talking to people that you did a loan for, you said 5 years ago?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, they're sitting there going, we need your help. Like, we need to make a change. Like, it's so great that we're talking right now. There's so many great opportunities to pick up the phone and check on people right now. And I love that you said that, because I'm not seeing it done enough. And anybody who's sitting there going like, why are they so busy? And why am, you know, I'm sitting here waiting for the next thing to come in and I've got nothing in my lap right now. Pick up the phone, call people you've done transactions with before, because the whole world's changed for people and nothing's the same right now.
Yeah, right. It's unprecedented times, right? So my annual reviews that I do with my clients this year are more valuable than I think they've ever been. I truly mean that sincerely. So, you know, it ranges from, and I have I'm very systematic. I'm very process focused. My background in, you know, software, product development, sales and marketing, like I'm very systematic, very process. So I have a process around my annual review. It's non-negotiable. It happens every single month. I do the exact same thing every single time for my annual reviews. But my conversations that are coming out of those annual reviews, right, are really, really unique. And they're beautiful. Like, you know, hey, we're pregnant. We're so excited. We haven't told anybody. Don't tell anybody. I'm like, that's your news to share, not mine. I'm not going to get on social media.
You're like, oh, social media, Facebook. Hey, guess who's pregnant?
Yeah, no, I'm not going to do that. But you know, it's that there's that emotional raw component, right? Like, we want to get out of here. You know, I talked to somebody yesterday, a client of mine and past client of mine, and they're like, we need to buy this house in Eastern Washington. We need this house. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, and I'm looking online. I'm like, oh, this is a pretty popular house. There's, you know, hot home on Redfin or whatever. And I said, okay. And it's a bidding war. We got to go up like 100,000. I'm like, well, let's just take a deep breath and figure out what that looks like. Like, let's talk about that financially. What does that mean for you? But we need this reprieve. We need this for our kids. We want to create memories. Like, and so it's the annual reviews are really interesting. You know, help me. I've got all this debt right now, and I need to consolidate it. You know, I'm looking at it. Let's get rid of that mortgage insurance. Let's consolidate your debt. Let's reduce your rate. Let's reduce your risk, your exposure. So the annual reviews are so critically important. And sometimes people just want to talk and they just want you to listen. What should I do? Should I sell my house?
So very important. And Stacia, you so along the lines of these reviews, because you're going through a lot of things, you're talking a lot of ninja stuff here, which is fascinating and really good for people to hear. And I think a lot of people are thinking, well, don't lenders mostly get all their business from real estate agents? You know, what is this process that you're talking about? Annual reviews, past customers, like people? And you obviously are very good at staying in touch with the people that you create loans for and write loans for and all that stuff. So can you just tell us a little bit about your process in terms of connecting with your database there, and maybe a little bit about this real estate review process? Because I think a lot of lenders out there are missing the boat by just, you know, waiting for real estate agents to here's a buyer for you. And they're spending all this time, hey, let me go have lunch with as many real estate agents as possible, stop by these offices and spend hours there when they could be on the phone connecting with the people they know.
Yeah. So I think, you know, lenders right now are busier than they've ever been. It's a refinance boom. You know, there's some softening happening around that currently, but lenders are busy, really busy, right? And they're capitalizing on that as they should, and helping clients and helping referrals that come in the door. You know, I came back in the business in 2016, and of course I built my business based creating relationships with people, right? It's just all about relationships and working with agents that are like-minded and building those relationships. But I haven't abandoned those relationships. Those are important, right? Those people that know you, like you, trust you. And I really see myself as an extension of those agents that I work with. Of course, I'm fostering and building new relationships for my business, but I have a really, what I call it a shallow database, right? I wasn't only a loan officer for 6 months. I got into it by accident because I bought my first house and I did not have a ninja as an agent, and did not have a ninja as a loan officer. They were not good. So I left Microsoft and went into this business to educate myself, and it became my job for 6 years, a long time ago. And then I came back into it and found my passion. I love this industry. But my point to that is I have a shallow database and people look at me and they're like, how do you do this? You know, how are you putting up, you know, these numbers and how are you successful? And I said, it's really about making sure you're talking to people on a daily basis. Like you have to be communicating with your database. You have to be talking to your agents. How can I help you? You know, I don't always need to get the loan. I have a very much a go-giver mentality, Matt. Like I want to help people and I want to help people in this industry. I want people to get into their house. I want people to get out of their apartment. I want them to go get their second home. I tell my agents, I don't have to be the loan officer on the transaction. You can call me and ask me questions. I am your resource. It doesn't matter. Or even if I can't do the loan, I'll refer them to somebody that I know that can, because I want to help that agent go sell that house or go get that client into the property. And believe me, I get referrals back from those clients that I've helped and said, you know, I am not the right fit for you. For example, when COVID hit, Jumbo just seized up, just, oh my God, we're not going to lend. I went out there and I found Jumbo investor. I found people who were lending on Jumbo still. And I referred clients to those loan officers. I vetted the loan officer, of course, and been like, okay, here, this is where you're going to go. They're going to close your loan. You got to get this done in like 30 days. Cause you know, I don't know if that money is going to seize up. You know, that was back in March. It was crazy, but it was all about helping the client and the agent. And that's my job. So going back to your question about the database, I do call my past clients. I'm very process driven. So I have a process that, you know, we do an annual review. We send out an email. It's with a link to a form. I have that client put in some basic information. I'm not collecting private information. I'm just asking them questions. You know, what are you thinking about? How long do you want to be in your house for? Are you doing any improvements? Do you have life insurance policy set up? Do you have a financial advisor? Do you have an account? I'm asking those questions because I want to know. And I get a pretty good response rate on that input form. And then automatically, I'm very tech focused. So they link to a calendar. They can see my calendar. They can schedule a time to meet with me. I think I have 3 annual review calls today just from sending out that email at the beginning of this month. And then I call my clients. I just make calls.
Amazing.
Hi, it's Stacia.
Incredible. That simple.
I can't believe it's been 3 years since you bought your house. I hope you're doing great. You know, I do get voicemails, but I just call and I'm authentic and I'm sincere. And I just say, you know, I hope you're doing great. This has been a crazy year. And if you have any questions, please reach out. And I will tell you what, I get callbacks and they're like, oh, I'm so glad you called me. I am thinking about selling my house in 6 months. Fabulous. And then, you know, I have my database up. Have you talked to Sarah, your agent, for example? No, I can't get a hold of Sarah. Or I haven't even thought about Sarah. Well, let's, you know, you should really talk to Sarah. You know, here, I'll make sure Sarah reaches out to you. And then I hang up the phone and I call the agent and I say, hey, Sarah, by the way,
so-and-so. Why aren't you doing your job, Sarah? First
yeah. Yeah. I mean, again, I work with really great agents, but that does happen. And I want to, and they're my, you know, agents are busy too, right? So we're a team. And so you got to pick up the phone, you got to call. And again, I do have automation in it too, because I'm busy. And if I can capture some of those clients to automatically go fill out a form and then click my link to get on my calendar, perfect. But I'm also calling.
So Stacia, you took the word out of my mouth, which was team, because a lot of people don't realize that you can form a team relationship with a mortgage broker, and a mortgage broker can build a team relationship with a real estate agent, that as you start doing transactions and as you start working together more and more and more, you're reaching out as a ninja. And this is a ninja team is what it is, which a lot of people do not build. That you're following this person on this side and having your conversations and knowing about their life and the life changes and the events that are going on. The realtor should be doing it also on their side, life changes, events, and things along those lines. And the beauty is that when those opportunities come up, you can reach over to your mortgage side, or the mortgage can reach over to the real estate side saying, hey, did you know I was just talking to the Bonellis and they've got such and such going on. Did you realize you should reach out to them and connect up with them?
Yep.
And both of you are working together to build an incredible relationship where this person is now not just being taken care of by a great real estate agent or a great mortgage broker, like you are their front when it comes to anything that has to do with real estate, financing of their home, refinancing of their home, projects that they want to do. Like they're taken care of. They're done. It's great.
It's 100% so true, Garrett. So true. I think I have even maybe three examples from yesterday, but I had a past client of mine. It was annual review. I did his annual review in August. He called me back. We played phone tag. We were texting a bit and he said, I knew that he was doing renovation work on his property when he purchased it. And he's like, it is almost done. And I said, that is so awesome. He's like, I want to get rid of my mortgage insurance. I think I've got the equity. And I go, well, you know what? Absolutely. Let's look at that. But let's be strategic about this. Let's not just do an application and order, do a refinance or get an appraisal and get the MI removed. Like, let's talk about this. Let's reach out to your agents. There's a team that works with them. So I called the agents texted the agents and said, hey, I need a CMA on Brandon's property. Have you guys touched base with him? It sounds like the construction's done. No, we haven't. Oh my gosh, we need to reach out to him. Awesome. Can you do that? And then can you give me a CMA so I can see what the property value is? And let's see if we can help Brandon. Like he's, you know, and oh, and by the way, I think they're, you know, his girlfriend and him are getting serious and blah, blah, blah. You know, it's just, it's about relationships and connections, right? Like my team and I do a great job. I do have a team that works for me, but I didn't have a team coming into this. Like I have built that. I have leaned into that with on my side, but I also, Garrett, fully believe that partnerships, I am an extension. When I get a referral from a client, from an agent, I am an extension of that agent, right? My job is to help that agent, help that client get into a home, but it's also to help that agent build their business. So when you went back and you were saying, you know, you're just doing all these, and maybe it was you, Matt, I'm running around to all these offices and I'm doing meetings and I'm having coffee and I'm having happy hour or I'm doing these virtual meetings. And I hear it all, right? As a ninja coach and like, okay, well, is that effective? Like, what's really going on there? What are you getting out of that? What you have to remember, I think about is like, my job is to help my agents be successful. My job is to help my clients realize their dreams of homeownership, whatever that may look like. And that might not mean that I am the loan officer on the transaction, shockingly enough, right? Like, but my job is to help them sell more. And I want to make that agent shine so they get more referral business, more referral business, more referral business. And if I'm focused on my agents and helping them look like rock stars, you know, we've never, you know, not close a loan late, doesn't happen. And my clients have a great experience. I was talking to another client, a past client of mine yesterday, talked to a lot of past clients, and he had just bought his house in June. And we were, you know, it was kind of fire. It's always a fire hose at our clients, right? This is the other thing I think about. I do 30-day calls too. So how you doing? Your mortgage is coming up, payments coming up, how's the house? I check in with my clients and he said, I really want to talk to you, but can we talk in September? Absolutely. So we were talking about kind of his strategy on his financing and, you know, he does have a first and second mortgage. And so what are we going to do with that second mortgage? Kind of gave him my opinions on it, what he should do and maybe should consider. And I also pushed him back to his financial advisor to talk about certain things. But what he said was a colleague of mine just bought a home and he owns his own company, by the way, he's a very influential individual. He said, what an awful transaction. It was horrible. And he's like, I didn't realize how wonderful it was to work with you and Brennan. And I didn't realize how smooth it was and how easy it was and how painless it was. And I just so appreciate both of you. So guess what? I hung up the phone and I called the agent and I said, hey, guess who I just talked to? How happy is that? You know what? We should try to get into his office and like, see if we can talk to like his team and stuff. And like, maybe do a virtual, like just kind of educate him on the market and what's happening in real estate. I mean, you guys, it's all about talking to people and building relationships and then being very authentic, right? And showing up. Did I have to take that call and like help him strategize on whether he was going to pay down his second and if he got this, you know, lump sum of cash or no, I didn't. I didn't have to do that, but I wanted to because I care.
You know, it's interesting. You talk about going into the office and kind of teaming up to go do something like that. You know, especially if you're talking about the refinance world or things like that. I mean, in today's world, you could sit there if you have a great relationship with the lead of that company to be able to come in and be like, let's see how many thousands of dollars a month we can save your employees on their current home loans. Like there's value that you can bring there to be like, I'm willing to come in and talk with your office and we can throw around some ideas. And if, hey, if it works for them, it works for them. But wouldn't it be fun if we could at the end of the month be like, we actually knocked out X amount of dollars that these guys are not having to spend on their home mortgage right now, which allows them to lead a better life. And you were the cause of that. I mean, there's so many great relationships and pieces that can come out of it.
Yeah. Or I mean, even helping your employees, like, are you guys miserable right now at home? Like, has anybody thought about buying a house? I mean, right. There are companies and there are people out there that are kind of sitting on cash. I think right now I was talking to a very, very, very smart person. I like to surround myself with very intelligent people, much more intelligent than I am. Listen to them, everything they say. And he's an advisor, and he runs his own hedge fund and stuff. And he was saying, you know, I think people are sitting on cash right now. They're just sitting on it and they're waiting. And so we talked about real estate, and he said, you know, but where I'm seeing people spend money is in real estate. Like, it is nobody's business. And I said, huh, fascinating. So yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the goal, of course, you guys, always is to be a go giver and help. I mean, that's the bottom line when I think about this, right? And talking about database and talking about annual reviews and just be authentic. But here's the one thing I have to say, Garrett, we were talking about this. It is part of your chocolate chip cookie recipe, right? You got to do the Ninja Nine. But what is that chocolate chip made of? You got to throw the chocolate chips in. Come on, you don't want to not have chocolate chips in your chocolate chip cookies. But what's that chocolate chip made of, right? Like, I dissect that. Like, I think about that. So my chocolate chip is maybe my annual review. That is rich. That is gold. That is so beautiful. It's such a sweet thing. You need it as a ninja. But what is that chocolate chip made of? You might need to make the chocolate chip, guys. You might need to create the process so that it is non-negotiable, so that you do it every single month. I don't care how busy you are. You have to make the time to do it. So create the process around it so it's a non-negotiable.
So at the end of the month, you have a whole batch of cookies.
That's exactly right.
Tasty, delicious cookies. Mm-hmm. Well, Stacia, I mean, you're repeating a theme throughout all of this, which we obviously believe in and love, and that is your focus is on other people. And so many people throughout this year who've gotten busy, and particularly now kids are home and homeschooling, and or they're doing virtual learning and all this stuff, they're just, I need to get out of this state. And people are in this constant, like almost survival mode exclusively, where they're thinking about themselves. And it sounds like you've taken that and you're just pouring even more out onto other people. And so I'm curious as to, and this is kind of getting out of the lending and the process a little bit, but to like, what are kind of your non-negotiable personal habits, maybe parts of your morning routine that help you stay in this state of constantly giving and thinking of others that is obviously contributing to how you're thriving through this as well?
Well, thank you, Matt. I am not perfect. Let me just say that. I have a 7-year-old and a 5-year-old, kindergarten and second grade, and we are virtual. I'm immune compromised. Like, my world has been very challenging this year personally, and I've had those moments where I've just ugly cried with my husband going, this is unreal. And so I have had those moments where I've been very introspective, selfish, like sad, all those things. I feel it. However, again, non-negotiable in my life. I wake up early. I wake up before my family. Now, there are days, you guys, where I, you know, on Sunday, I might sleep in until 7:30. Please don't touch me. Please don't bother me. Everybody just leave me alone. I might have...
People are going, 7:30, that's sleeping in?
Yeah. What? I have little ones, right? Then, mommy. But I do wake up early. I do meditate. It is not an easy thing for me because I'm very, you know, type A. So I practice that just like I practice everything else. I'm constantly adjusting the flywheel on that, getting better and better. I absolutely take care of myself every day. I work out daily. I love my Peloton. So I'm going to plug Peloton. It has changed my life, Peloton, but I've always worked out and taken care of myself. Now, mind you, I've had my ebbs and flows within that, but I feel my best when I take care of myself. I also am very, very focused on what I am grateful for. I write down what I'm grateful for. And sometimes it's just simply, I am so grateful that I have two boys who are best friends and they love each other, because I can't imagine going through this without that. I am so grateful for my team and my job and the business that I am in. Sometimes it's just simple stuff, right? And I'm just grateful that I get a pour a cup of coffee in the morning and it's quiet.
You know, we've come back to this so many times that the gratitudes are the thing that I have watched that have made people thrive through this time, is taking that time to really slow down and realize that, you know, Stacia, you just mentioned it. Sometimes it's just a cup of coffee in the morning that you can sit back and smell the coffee and the steam coming off it and going, I've got this right now, and I'm so grateful for what's in this cup right now, and that I'm starting a new day, and this is a wonderful moment. Those moments of gratitude are literally the littlest things that are the biggest components of what I'm watching are making people thrive in this world right now, and be able, and I'm going to say even survive through it sometimes. As you said, ugly crying. Oh, yeah, I know. I'm not an ugly crier, but I get it.
Yeah, I mean, we all have, right? We've all kind of had those ugly cry moments, whether you're physically doing it like I did, or you're just like feeling this like heaviness. But I will tell you, I write down my gratitudes, and I've always done something with my kids. And I'd encourage those of you out there with your kiddos to implement something like this. Now, you know, we ask our kids 3 questions every night, and it is a non-negotiable. My family, I'm like, you guys gotta go to bed, it's super late. They're like, mommy, no, ask me the questions. What was the best part of your day today, kids? I always want to know. What are you grateful for? We ask our 5 and 7-year-old, and then what are you going to dream about? And that really, to me, is a mindset. And my husband and I participate. It kind of makes me tear up talking about it because it's become such a little ritual in my little core family. And I love listening to what my kids say. I love it. That fills my cup at the end of my day. Monday, I worked 18 hours. I mean, it was a crazy day. And my son was so upset. He was crying in his bed. And he was like, mommy, you just spent 8 times with me today. And all the other mommies are on Zoom and you're not on Zoom. And I'm like, oh. I'm like, honey, you know why? What I do? Yes, mommy, you help people. And I said, that's right. Mommy helps people. And today was a day where I needed to help a lot of people. So we did, what are you grateful for? And I said, I am grateful today, honey, that I got to help so many people and that you guys let mommy work today. I'm so grateful for that. It's definitely part of my life, that gratitudes, those affirmations. Affirmations are another thing, big thing. My goal going into this year was to serve 250 families. It's not closing 250 loans. It's to serve 250 families. That's a mindset that I really lean into. I want to help people. And by the way, you know, we track and we have all these metrics and things that we do because I have a business inside a business, right? I work for a company, but I have a business that I run and I have a team that I am accountable to and responsible for, making sure that they're being paid and et cetera. But that mindset to help people is really important to me. And you know what? Helping somebody does not necessarily mean that you're selling them a house, you're getting them a loan.
Very good points.
So Stacia, if you don't mind, I'd like to transition from this. I want to talk about, because I want to make sure we're respectful of all of our time here today. One of the things that you were talking about early on, we talked about it, was buyer protection and pre-approval letters. And I know we're making a total right-hand turn here, but I want to make sure we get a chance to talk about this today. You were talking about pre-approval letters, and it was funny, as I had an experience here just the other day where an agent was making the comment that in being a listing agent, all the offers that she was receiving on a property, she says, one of the things I've started doing was calling the lenders to check and really get a sense of who is this buyer on the other end and what do they have and what are they working on. And she's finding out some incredible information that it looks really good on paper, but the minute she's actually calling and finding out more, it's not that they have half down, it's that they have 2 loans and, you know, trying to make this whole deal come together. And all of a sudden she's like, whoa, like we can't move forward with this offer. And you were saying like the buyer presentation is so incredibly important on the agent side and on the mortgage side with working with these people and setting them up appropriately. I'd love to hear more about what you're seeing out there right now, but also your approach with helping people be successful buyers, but also working with those agents.
Just 2 comments and I'll kind of get into that. First of all, the pre-approval letter is a piece of paper, you guys. It doesn't mean anything. It means nothing. It's just a piece of paper. I mean, okay, so compliance, yes, yes, yes. It means something, right? We are supposed to follow the law. But I'm just telling you guys, it's as good as what it's written on. It's a piece of paper, right? It's not worth $200,000 or $1 million or $3 million, whatever your price point is. That's not the money. Number one. Number two, if you do not have loan officers picking up the phone and calling you as listing agents, be scared. Be very scared. And if you're a loan officer and you're listing and you are not calling the listing agent after your buyer's agent submits that offer, first of all, ask permission from the selling agent, from the buyer's agent. Can I call the listing agent? This is part of my process. It's my best practice. I would like to communicate to the listing agent about our client's financing and share legally what I can. Is that okay with you? Yes, it is. Absolutely. I 100% call the listing agents every single time my clients make an offer on a house. It is non-negotiable. And then guess what? I follow up with an email to that listing agent, recapping our conversation. I do not write a dissertation. Nobody has time to read that. I put in, you know, 5 bullet points and I CC that buyer's agent on there. And then I follow up with the buyer's agent and say, hey, I talked to the listing agent. Here are the things, you know, maybe there's another offer coming in or I think we're good. And they asked me about price, whatever.
That is a major differentiator right there, Stacia. Because I do not know of many lenders who do that. And that is an incredible part of the process. And so, and I'm, before you move on to the next phase here, is there a way that agents can talk to their lenders? Is there a simple question they can ask to encourage the lender that their buyers are working with to make that call?
Yeah, it's pretty simple. Please call the listing agent. I've submitted the offer.
I had a feeling that was going to be the what you're going to say, but I see a lot of people getting timid with that, but it's so crucial. So I want everybody to just listen to that. Make the simple request.
100%. You guys, it's about picking up the phone, right? It's about building. And hey, guess what? If you're a lender and you're listening to this, you should be doing that for several reasons. First of all, you are there to serve your client and your agent. So you should be doing that. That is your job, in my opinion. You can't share credit score. You can't share, I mean, I've had agents ask me crazy stuff. So how much money do they make? And I said, legally, I'm not allowed to tell you that, but I can tell you that I have no concerns about, you know, their debt to income ratio. I have no concerns about their income. I'll tell you what I do, but it is non-negotiable. So if you're an agent and you have a lender and they don't want to call the listing agent, that's a problem. I'm just saying it's a problem.
Fascinating. Fascinating. So everybody's got to add that in. Add that into your process. Lenders and agents.
Yeah. Do it. So 100% of the time, so be scared if you're selling a house and the lender is not calling you. Oh, anyway. Okay. So I feel like, so the buyer's presentation, Garrett, going back to your question, is so critically important. It's always been critically important in my opinion. I have a very specific process I put clients through. It's not to be difficult to work with, but it is absolutely to filter out whether clients are a good fit to work with me and I am a good fit to work with clients. It's my filter. And if people don't want to do it the way my team and I do it, that's totally okay. I'm just not a good fit for you. And the reason I do it a certain way is not to be difficult to work with. It's because I know what leads to success for clients. I know how to help clients get into their home. I know what to do to help the buyer's agents compete in a competitive situation or negotiate on price. And there's a process that must be followed for that. But the buyer's presentation is so important. And if I were an agent, I always think about the agents I work with. Like, put my agent hat on. Again, I am not an agent, but I put my hat on. And I would encourage you guys to put your agent hat on and put your mortgage hat on if you're sitting in those different chairs, right? And ask questions of each other. But I put my agent hat on and I think, okay, if I were an agent, I was doing the buyer presentation. The buyer presentation is so critical. And it is not, hey, go get pre-approved to get a pre-approval letter these days. That is not it. That's not what I would be doing. I would say, I have a lender that is who I work with, and I trust this lender implicitly. And I think that they will be a really good fit for you. If that person is not a good fit for you, come back to me and tell me why. And I have other resources, but I would like you to meet, you know, Stacia, for example. And then that agent does a handoff on email. And then it's my job to follow up with that client and get that lead coming in, right? And get them pre-approved, have a conversation. I don't just send people applications. Loan officers, if you're just sending people applications and not talking to them at first, that is a problem. It's a huge problem. And it just creates more work for you on the back end. I fully believe that.
I think also big picture, what I'm watching out there in the world when it comes to, you know, a lot of offers being written, there's a lot of buyers out there that have gone and talked to lenders, and in communities, you can very easily also make a bad name for yourself as somebody that maybe, you know, says, yeah, I've got people that are ready to buy. And when it comes to it, they can't perform. And I think doing that upfront buyer process as a lender is extremely important to make sure that, like, you have a great product that you're putting out there into the real estate world, not giving them hope that they can get this done, because you could also crush their dreams by getting them all the way to the closing table and they can't perform. To do that upfront process is really important on lots of levels.
Yeah. I've never not done that, by the way, Garrett. I've never not performed because I don't let people write offers if I don't think we're going to be able to execute. Why would I do that? Why would I put anybody, the listing agents, the buyer's agents, the buyers, the sellers through that? That does not bode well. And then the stress and anxiety that gives myself and my team, that's not worth it to me.
I love that you just said, I don't do that. Not performing is like not an option.
Yeah.
it's just, we're not doing that.
No, we don't do that. But again, Garrett, like, my buyer's presentation is my filter mechanism, right? I tell clients, I want to make sure we are a good fit to work together. We are a good fit. I am still an extension of, you know, XYZ, the agent's team, but I want to make sure we're a good fit to work together. And so I have a process, blah, blah. I ask questions. I listen. I ask questions. You know, I'm pre-qualifying them on that initial conversation just in my head. I do not just pull credit. I do not just get an application. And if you're doing that out there as a loan officer, shame on you. You should be getting all income, all asset, all documentation, verifications of employment, tax returns if you need them, you know, Schedule C's, K-1s, business returns. I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on and on and on, right? And depending on the type of financing. And if I were a buyer's agent, my conversation with the lender wouldn't be just like, did you get a pre-approval? Can I have a pre-approval letter? It'd be like, hey, how stable is their employment in the season of COVID? Hey, is their money liquid? Do they have to sell socks, or are they getting gift funds, or are they doing a 401k or loan, or what are they doing? Are they doing distributions on their IRAs and are the CARES Act? Like, what are they doing, right? How's our debt ratio? Are we pretty good? Do we have wiggle room in this at all? Obviously, I would be asking really very, very specific financial questions. Now, you can't ask about credit score. The lender can't tell you how much money they make, but you can ask, like, is their money liquid? Do they have that ready to go? Is their debt ratio within line? Do you have the verification of employment? Is their job stable? Like, have you had that conversation with the client? So those are questions I would ask if I was a buyer's agent. If I were listing a house and I wasn't receiving offers, I don't care if it's multiple offers or you got one offer on the table and they're, you know, you're getting slashed on price, I would call that lender and hopefully they're calling you. But if they're not, you're calling them and you're saying, tell me about their assets. Are their assets liquid? Okay. Yes, they are. What does that mean? Are they in savings account or are they in stocks? Do they need to sell? No, they're in savings. Perfect. How's their job? What industry are they in? You know, is their job stable in the season of COVID? That's a very, very real question. It's a very relevant question. It's something I talk about when I call listing agents, stability around employment, something I talk to my clients about, something I talk to my buyer's agents about. It's really important.
And I don't think enough listing agents are making that call right now with how many deals are falling out of escrow and things that are going on. That call's not being made, which I was like, well, that's a no-brainer.
It makes me go sideways. Like, it makes my stomach flip thinking about that for everybody. Honestly, it does. I would be calling that loan officer and saying, so tell me a little bit about yourself and yourself. You know, give me your pitch, loan officer. Like, how have you, you know, this is what I say to listing agents. Listen, and this is part of my process. Hi, this is Stacia. You know, I wanted to introduce myself. I'm following up in an offer that was presented to you by XYZ agent for your listing at ABC. Do you have a minute to chat? Yes, I do. And this isn't the intention of my call. Okay. And then, hey, by the way, you should also just be throwing in a little bit of forward in there. I'm just going to tip everybody off on that as a loan officer. Can you believe
5-step calling process? Yeah,
can you believe the smoke outside today? I haven't been outside in days in Seattle. This is crazy. Hope you're surviving that. Oh my gosh, it's crazy. Anyways, let me get back to about my client's financing. I have verified my client's income. I have, you know, W-2s, pay stubs, tax returns if I need them for certain products. I don't have concerns on my client's income. I have also done a verification of employment, and my client's financing or my client's job is very stable in the season of COVID, which I think is very relevant for you to know. Secondly, I've verified my client's assets. They are liquid or they're getting a gift from this, whatever, right? The assets are there. It's verified. I have no large deposits. Everything's ready to go. I don't have any concerns about my client's financing. You know, they are a first-time homebuyer. They're putting 3% down. Whatever you want to say, right? My clients are very stable. Secondly, my team and I don't close loans or close loans late. We're very experienced. We do a lot of business. And if we get into a mutually signed around contract, my commitment to you as a selling agent is that I'm going to call you and update you on all major milestones so you can update your sellers. So you can update your sellers. And so they're very comfortable while we get through this transaction. Any questions?
No questions. Thank you.
What a powerful phone call, though. I mean, what an incredibly powerful phone call that sets the stage to have a successful transaction.
100%. But that's my job, right? Like, my job is once we get into contract, the agents have done the heavy lifting. They've sold the houses. That's my opinion. My job is to perform and get us to settlement, get us to escrow, get us to title, get us to closing, get us to whatever. You know, and then I also say, put that mask on when you go outside because it's still smoky. And then I'm going to follow up with an email to you. I have your email address as XYZ, or can you give me your email address? And I'm just going to recap our conversation. Just boom, 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 5 bullet points, 4 bullet points, 3 bullet points, 2 bullet points. I don't care. You know, they're doing down payment assistance. Like, but that doesn't mean that my clients can't buy your house. They can do this. And I CC that listing or the buyer's agent on it. And, you know, its subject line is really simple. Offer presented by buyer's agent's name, in parentheses, buyer, colon, my buyer's names, parentheses, and then the property address, and then Hi, Sarah. It was such a pleasure speaking with you today. Per our conversation, please note the following. Boom, 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 boom. Please call me if you or your sellers have any questions.
So, Stacia, I mean, I got to imagine that in this environment right now, very low inventory, lots of multiple offers, in some places, lots of cash offers being made. This phone call can make the difference for someone who is seeking financing, competing against cash offers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a client who we closed it in August. 40 offers on one house in Seattle. And my clients escalated. We very, very clean offer. The agent, by the way, is a ninja. She's awesome at what she does. And we beat two cash buyers. But that phone call helped solidify that, right? Closing really fast solidified it. But we did a lot of things to compete against cash, and we beat two cash buyers. And the second cash buyer, we were just slightly over that first cash buyer by very little money. We had escalated beyond, and we were just slightly over.
Incredible.
That's the team.
That's a team.
Yeah. That's fascinating, Stacia. I mean, that's like the moment that people need to hear from this, I think. I mean, that is the biggest takeaway that I'm getting here, is because I don't hear enough people talking about this when I'm talking to my clients and the agents out there. They're not talking about their lender team. They're not talking about how awesome their lender was making that phone call to the listing agent. I mean, I hear the passion in your voice, Stacia, and I will tell you, like, probably 90% or more of the lenders out there are not doing that. And the agents aren't asking them to. So if there's any takeaway, people, from this, I mean, geez, make that phone call, make the difference, go to bat for your people and focus on just helping the clients win.
Yeah, help the clients win, for sure. I mean, it's part of the go-giver mentality, but I also feel like it's my job. And here's the thing. Lenders are so busy right now. And if I were an agent and a lender said, oh, I'm just so busy, I can't do that. Are you okay? Because what's more important right now? Like, are you okay? Because what's more important, the five refinance quotes you got to get out the door, or helping our client? So, by the way, if you're a lender out there and you're listening, this refinance boom, it's going to go away. Bye-bye. It's not going to be here forever. It's a great year, right, for lenders if they're capitalizing on refinances and focusing on that. But I mean, my business is purchase business. I've built that. Of course I refinance clients. Of course I do refinances. I mean, of course I do. But my focus is helping my agents. My focus is helping my clients get into their, realize that dream of homeownership, or recognize the change within homeownership they need to make. Like, that is what I do. And my team and I, we're good at it. I mean, that's my focus. And if you're a lender and you're too busy to pick up the phone and support your buyer's agent and your buyer getting into a house, shame on you. Do not quote that refinance quote. It's not as prevalent. It is not as imminent and as important at that moment in time as that offer that's going out the door.
So I want to kind of put a bow on what we've kind of gone through today. You know, Stacia, you're a master at your trade and your craft, and you always have been. And it's funny, before I got a chance to meet Stacia personally, I would have people in the Seattle market. We would be talking about, you know, the lender and, you know, who's your lender, who do you typically use? And your name kept coming up. And it was funny, when we first got connected and you were kind of going down through the process of becoming a coach for us, that was one of the things that, you know, somebody would be like, oh my gosh, I got this amazing, you know, mortgage broker. And I'd be like, oh, who is it? And they'd be like, oh, have you ever heard of Stacia? I'm like, yeah, I'm talking to her daily right now. So it was always this really amazing way. And I'm so thankful that we were able to transition you into being one of our coaches and bringing what you do into the world of Ninja. I mean, obviously we have the mortgage installation, and that's available for people to go to out there. But anybody who's listened to this, if you have a mortgage provider that you use, somebody you love, I'm hoping that this message can get forwarded out to them, if you want to share this episode, so that they can get a sense of what level you can go to as a mortgage broker in this industry. And that if they do need help getting to that level or want to go to that level, we have the tools to help you get there. So, Stacia, I appreciate you so much. And I'm grateful for the time that you've given us this morning.
Oh, it's such my pleasure. And thank you for that nice comment, Garrett. That's a huge compliment, and that just made my day. So I appreciate it. It's a pleasure to be on here.
Well, Stacia, I got to echo Garrett and just say thank you so much. Very, very appreciative of you spending the time with us today. And thank you to all of you, the listeners out there. Appreciate you tuning in. And I will also echo what Garrett said. Please share this one with people who need to hear it, because there's some incredible nuggets in here for agents, for lenders, and for anybody who's out there running a business. So thank you guys so much for tuning in, and we look forward to catching you on the next one.
Thank you, everyone.
If you enjoyed today's episode and would like more, visit us at theninjasellingpodcast.com.
There you will also find links for more information about Ninja Selling and coaching. Have an incredible day.